praise God. Does anybody feel that way tonight? I've learned to depend upon His word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word is going to stand through eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thankful for the Spirit of God I feel in this house. Amen. Glad to have my mom and dad with me tonight. And good to see. I think it's wonderful that when I drive up that I see so many faces coming in the door that I've never seen before. Amen. That's a good problem to have. Amen. And I'm thankful for all of the faithful saints of God that I've seen you many times. And I'll be honest with you, me and my wife sat down some time ago and we came across, when we were moving, we came across the old directory when we were here from 98 to 2000. And I counted about 150 people that's no longer here. They've moved. They've went into ministry other places. I said if Brother Copeland had everybody he had prayed through and all of us that was there, there's no way we'd have to have a warehouse to have church in. Hallelujah. Well, that's the truth. And thank God for a man that came and dug his heels in and said, we're going to have revival in Buford. And revival we've had. Praise God. Praise God. If you would turn with me in the word of the Lord to Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 2. I want to preach for just a little bit here. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 2 through verse number 9. And don't get your hopes so high. Amen. He's just being kind about my preaching. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus, and Peter answered and said, Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anywhere save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. I would like to point out to you in our first scripture tonight that he leadeth them unto a high mountain apart by themselves. And then Peter says, Jesus, Master, it is good. It's good for us to be here. But then also notice in the last verse, and they came down from the mountain. I want to preach for just a little while in your hearing tonight on this subject, maximize your mountain. Hallelujah. Maximize your mountain. How many of you came to help the preacher on a Thursday night? Amen, amen. For those of you that raised your hand that you've never heard me preach, let me let you in on a little clue. If you'll help me, you'll get out of here a lot sooner. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just preach faster if you help me. And maximize your mountain. Would you just place your Bibles down and pray with me right now? Master, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for another opportunity to break the bread of life to this wonderful congregation tonight. I pray, God, that you would anoint my feeble lips of clay as I impart your words, God, and let your word be anointed. Anoint ears that hear and hearts to respond in this house tonight. Lord, we know very well, God, that the flower withereth, the grass fadeth, but that the word of God will endure forever. Let your word endure tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Praise God. Maximize your mountain. This word maximize is very easily defined simply by to make the greatest or the fullest of. To make the greatest or fullest of. As we examine our text on this Thursday afternoon, Jesus, Peter, James, and John are on what is geographically called Mount Hermon. It is known and commonly called the Mount of Transfiguration. Here, as they are praying, Jesus is, if you will, deified or raised into the heavens and transfigured before them. And he is met there by none other than Moses and Elias, which represents the law and represents the prophets. And for lack of better terms, Peter is blown away by what he sees transpiring before him. And what he hears is blowing him away. Now, understand that he begins, Peter commonly would just speak his mind and speak what hit him. He was, I sort of have the same problem he had. Sometimes my flags don't go up in the railroad crossing, lights don't come on time. Amen. They have to set mine a little early. Praise God. And Peter, before he knows what he's saying, he said, man, it's good to be here. And he said, Lord, I think we ought to build three memorials up here. Let's build one to you and one to Elias and one to Moses. And brother, he just starts talking. He is overwhelmed by what is transpiring before him. And as he begins to say these things, I've heard people that really didn't take well to Peter. They said he was going into idolatry. And I've heard all kind of things on this scripture. A lot of them made sense. But I'm going to tell you, being a human and you being a human, if you could quit deifying the apostles, and though they were great men, too many times we deify them and make them like some heavenly being that never thought a human thought. I'm going to tell you, they were human, they were flesh and blood just like we are. And what he was saying is, and you understand the history that's behind it, that he was saying we ought to build a memorial because something powerful has happened here today. This has been one of the most awesome encounters, God, that I have ever experienced. Well, praise God. How do you know that, Brother Hush? Because if you go back and you think just for a moment, you can immediately think of none other than Jacob. And Jacob, a patriarch of Scripture, and he's at a point in his life that he needed a confirmation from God, and he lays his head down to go to sleep one night, and we know it commonly known as Jacob's ladder, and he has an encounter and an experience with God, and God gives him a reassurance that you're still man, you're still on course, and my blessings are for you, and he confirms to him again, I'm going to do what you want me to do, and I'm going to do what I promised your ancestors, and you are a recipient of the promises and the covenants that I made. And brother, he has an experience so great that when he wakes up, he said, this ain't no pillow, but this right here is a memorial. I'm going to take and anoint this thing with oil, and I'm going to mark this spot, and I'll put it up here in my GPS, and when I come by here, I'm going to tell my grandbabies, oh, grandpa had an experience. You see that rock right there? It's no ordinary rock. But when I laid my head upon it, God spoke to me. Give me just a little more. And when you see the children of Israel, and we've heard our bishop preach, I remember him preaching at my dad's church one time about your response to the pastor's strong stand. And at that happening at the Jordan River, they are up against the greatest obstacle in their conquest to Canaan up until that point. They are up against none other than the high walls of Jericho. And they are there, and it looks so insurmountable. It looks so impossible. And God said, man, I want you to let the priests touch their feet in the water. And the rivers were out of their banks. And when they touched the first part of that water, you know, the the story, any Bible student, that the waters parted and Israel crossed over and they were nigh unto the walls of Jericho. But before they could get out, Joshua looked at them and he said, I want you to take and pull up 12 stones. And I want you to set them right here by these walls, because I'm going to tell you that in the morning there ain't going to be no walls here, or shortly there will be no walls here in 7 days. There will be no walls here, and all there's going to be is these stones to mark God's victory. And when you come around going your way to vacation, I want you to come through Jericho, because no man's going to build it again. You just come through here, and they say, hey, Paul, what is them stones? And you say, whoa, baby. David, let me tell you, did we have an encounter? God parted that water and we walked across the Jordan. You're not going to believe it, but there was walls so tall and so thick that you could hold the Indianapolis 500 on top of it. But God, when we begin to walk around them walls and when we gave a mighty shout, God brought those walls down and God give us victory. What Peter saw on that mountain that day, all I believe that Peter was trying to do was say, God, I want to build something up here because I want to tell generations to come that I experienced something on this mountain. I want to be able to make the most of this mountain. Do you understand? I want to make the greatest. I want to maximize this experience that I received on the mountain. Well, somebody said hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to leave the moment. Amen. I want you to understand he could not stay on the mountain forever, because there was people in the valley that needed Jesus. When you understand the real work of the kingdom is not on the mountain. But the real work of the kingdom is in the valley and on the plain. If you read farther from our scriptural passage, our text passage, you're going to find that when they come down the mountain, immediately they are met by a man that said, Lord, would you heal my son? Would you please heal my son? Your disciples tried to heal him, and they couldn't get the devil out of him. And often he throws himself into the fire and into the water and froths at the mouth. Amen. And the convulsions come over him. Could you help him? And God, what happened? God said, this is why you need to understand. We can't stay on the mountain all the time because the need is in the valley. And we got to be prepared by maximizing our mountain to get the power and the anointing, amen, to minister in the valley, because the need is in the valley. Well, somebody shout hallelujah again. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6 says it this way, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, the preacher is preaching more about church and church attendance. And the reason that our pastor and preachers walk in this pulpit and constantly emphasize and re-emphasize to you the importance of not forsaking yourselves, the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is more than just to get you here to have a number, and more than just to get you here to pay your tithes and to pay your offerings. But they understand that it is God's divine plan that when we come to church, he raises us up above the shadows of this life, above the problems of this life. He raises us up out of the valley of trial, out of the valley of temptation, out of the valley of sickness, out of the valley of death, and we raise up together. Notice it didn't say you, it said he raises us. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to get comfortable. I ain't going to be too dignified, all right? I feel preach up in here tonight. Hallelujah. He said he raises us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that I can have good church at my house. Well, hallelujah. Your pastor, our pastor, Brother Copeland knows, my dad knows, an old elder by the name of Ronald Hall. And he's about as big around as he is tall. And that's his own words, but he's about 6'4 high and 6'4 round. Praise God. And you're talking about hooked up in the Holy Ghost. And man, there's been times in our church that we were going through things. And I remember one time in particular, Brother Mayor, we hadn't been there that long. And man, we were going through some stuff and it was blowing us away. And I called the elder and I was just talking to him. And in a minute, you just have to know him. He said, "Woo, ha, ha." He started talking in tongues on the phone. I ain't told him nothing. He just talking in tongues on the phone. He said, "I'm going to tell you, Brother Husha." He said, "This ain't nothing that a little church won't fix." And you know me, I'm in the middle of it. And I said, "Well, Elder, I know, but church ain't for three more nights." He said, No. He said, I'm just fixing to pray for you right now." And brother, it wasn't long and we was having some church. And y'all know a lot of you know my wife, she's quiet. But my Lord, I knew we was having church because she was jerking and talking in tongues. Amen. I said, "Elder, we had church today. My wife even prayed through. Hallelujah." He said, "We know better than that. You need to pray through. Hallelujah. If Leslie don't make it, ain't none of us gonna make it." Hallelujah. I've had church going down the road in my car. You say, "What?" Oh yeah, I've had to pull over because the tears were so strong. I couldn't see. My eyes were so blurred. There's been times I've drove up to red lights and the Holy Ghost hit me. I go to talking in tongues. And you say, "You do that?" Well, my Lord, they come with their radio. Boom, 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 boom. "Whoa, what's up, bro, man?" Hey, if they can do that, they look stupid. At least I'm doing something worthwhile. Well, it's time for us to quit being intimidated by the world worshiping their gods. Well, praise God. But I said all that to tell you this. Now, I've had good church at home. I've got a spot at my house that, man, I have church when I get there. It's my prayer closet. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing as powerful as when I come to church and I gather together with God's people. And all of a sudden, it starts in the prayer room. That's why you need to come to the prayer room. If at all possible, you got to be in the prayer room. Why? Because he begins right there. And he gets you down at the bottom of the mountain. And you come dragging in. And, "Oh, Lord, I don't know if I can make it." And God said, "Oh, just get on to my house." You want to know why the devil fought some of you so hard tonight? Because he knew if you get here, you're going to go up on the mountain and it's going to change your outlook. And when you walk out of here, you're going to have faith. And when you walk out of here, you're going to have renewed vision. When you walk out of here, you're going to have strength and anointing and power. Well, praise God, praise God. And there is nothing like coming into God's house and being caught up in the Spirit. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's nothing like the other night. I just walked out there and I had a sermon to preach. But I walked out there the other Sunday night. And when I walked out in the sanctuary, they was praying. And I walked out of the office and I said, "God, I ain't really feeling that sermon. You're going to have to give me something else." And when I walked out of my office and I stepped on the platform, I said, "Well, there ain't going to be no preaching tonight. That's why I'm feeling that." I walked to that pulpit. I said, "Hey, I'm going to tell you, God's got something special for this service. And if you just get a hold of it right now, he's going to lift you up above the problems. He's going to lift you up above the shadows. He's going to lift you out of the valley." And brother, an hour and a half later, we never turned on the lights. We never hit a note of music. The Holy Ghost pulled us up to the mountain. We shouted without a note of music. We worship and talked in tongues. People got deliverance and people got healed. And then it done what I really like. I like to shout. Oh, I like to shout. I'm bound to the piano where I pastor. Amen. I'm bound to the piano. And if God would really move on pastor's heart, he'd send me a piano player. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd send him an offering every month. Amen. But when I do get free from that, oh, I'm gonna tell you, I told the contractor in my church, I said, I'm telling you, Brother John, you may be stuck on them drums, but when we get a piano player that can take off, I said, I'm gonna know they're ready to take service if they can play shouting music. Amen. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Praise break music. I said, I think I'm just going to have you a big section of that platform. We're going to take the carpet up and put hardwood floor in. He said, why, Pastor? I said, because it's going to be my personal dance floor. I'm not even going to need surgery. I'll lose 100 pounds just shouting every service.
Well, praise God.
I like to shout. I like to run. Well, I may be heavy, but I told him a lot of times, you just got a J for J, jiggle for Jesus. Amen. Just get with it. Amen. Shake something.
Well, praise God.
Well, hallelujah. Some of y'all need to smile. Amen. Oh, yeah, you need to smile. You need to exercise them muscles. Some of you need to jiggle for Jesus before we get done. Hallelujah. You'd feel so much better when you walked out of this house. And oh, I like shouting and I like worshiping. But when we got close to the close, there was just a spirit that moved in there. And people started just not weeping with sorrow, but just a joyful weeping in the presence of God like a slow rain. The last 30 minutes of that prayer meeting just began to soak that place. Woo! It was one of them times, Sister Fuller, that I walked to the pulpit and I said, folks, I know it's time to go home, but I don't know how to dismiss a service like this. Is anybody identify what I'm talking about? I'm talking about that place where you just don't want to leave. You're like Peter, I just want to soak it in. Whoa, it was good for us to have been here, God. I'm telling you, I don't know. I just want to maximize it. I just want to soak this. I want a whole vacation here. But God didn't call us to come to church for vacation. But God called us to bring us up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. To heal our bodies, to heal our minds, to heal our souls. Oh, hallelujah. To empower us, to invigorate us, that when we go back, we can, hallelujah, help a dying and a lost world. Well, praise God. And I'm going to tell you, if there's ever been a time that we need to maximize every service, you need to make it personal. This is my mountain. Maximize your mountain. Don't worry about what Brother Tucker's doing. Well, don't worry about what Brother Jimmy Kyle's doing. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't worry about Brother Ben. Don't worry about nobody else. Sister Rachel, you just make up in your mind, I'm going to come to church, and if nobody else gets nothing out of it, I'm going to maximize it. It's going to be like Maxwell House. It's going to be good to the last drop. I'm going to soak everything I can. Maximize your mountain. I gotta hasten. But understand, you gotta make every service count in 2016. The days of coming to church and just going through the motions. Let me tell you, the pressure of this world will suck you in and suck you under. You got to come to church and you got to say, hey, I'm going to get everything I can. I'm not just going to come and sit and say, Pastor ought to be glad I even made it with all I've done today. Why, he was laid up eating fried chicken.
Come on now.
I know they don't think that in Georgia, but they think all us pastors do in Louisiana is eat fried chicken. Hallelujah. If they only knew. Oh, man. And boudin. I eat me some of that. Hallelujah. I eat more boudin than I do fried chicken. Praise God. But I'm telling you that we've got to make every service count. We can't just come to church and go through the motions and say, well, it's just Thursday night and oh, it's just Bible study and pastor's just going to teach a little Bible lesson. No, no, no. If he's going to teach a little Bible lesson, he's going to have to do it when I get through getting everything I can out of the mountain. I've been down there in the midst of all the world and sucking at me and pulling at me and draining me and life working my motor over. I'm coming to church and I'm going up the mountain. If you want to stay down there and you don't want to give an amen and you don't want to give a hallelujah and you don't want to give a glory to God and you don't want to move a muscle, don't worry about it. I'm maximizing my mountain. Don't worry about it. I ain't worried about your mountain. I'm worried about my mountain. We got to make it count. Paul said, I don't fight as one beating the air. Come on, I got to make every punch count. I'm not shadow boxing, the New Living Translation said. I'm not here to shadow box. I'm here to box for real. You got to come and you got to box for real. You got to box while you got the devil on God's turf. You can whoop him a lot easier on God's turf than you can on his turf. Because we have no idea what we're going to face when we come down off the mountain. I'm going to get a little personal for a moment. Hallelujah. 2 years ago in July, I'd come to Georgia for my mother-in-law to have a total hip replacement. 60 years old. One of the most precious women that's ever walked in shoe leather. And we came and 60 years old, she had hip replacement surgery. She done phenomenal. I mean, phenomenal. She had bad knees to go along with it. The doctor said, if you could walk 25 foot on this walker without putting weight on your hip, we're going to be pleased. It's going to be great. Man, she walked 250 feet. She never took nothing more than a Tylenol. It was great. I went home and preached the weekend and after her surgery and came back through and preached for Brother Mark Copeland and come on back and come up and preach for my dad on that next weekend and on the next Tuesday night we were going to go home on Friday and I went and preached in Pastor Mark Fogarty's church where my dad pastored for 20 years and where all my in-laws and my family, my wife's family goes to church and I went that night and I felt something on my heart and I began to preach it and we had wonderful worship and we had great church and things were so great and I felt the Holy Ghost when I was preaching and oh man we just maximized the mountain that night. And I preached that night on the defining moments of life. And I preached from Job and where Job gets to the place that he has 10 funerals in one day. When you think you got it bad, just imagine Brother Job and Sister Job. Before you give Sister Job a hard time, Mama, imagine you laying to rest 10 caskets across the front of this church and burying your babies in one day. She comes and she tells Job, she sees her precious husband in all the pain and agony and he could not move. Many people feel that it was shingles that he had, that were open sores and every move he made, he could not get comfortable. He was in constant agonizing pain. And his wife comes and says, baby, I can't stand to see you go through this anymore. Why don't you just curse God and die? And she's not saying give curse words to God. I believe in you. Call me the devil's advocate, but I believe that she was in her agony saying, just give up, just die in peace. I can't take this no more. And something clicked in Job, and he said, you know what? If I can curse God and die, that's negative. There's got to be a positive. If I could curse him and die, then I can bless him and live. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take that choice of bless him and live, not curse him and die. And he said, you know what, I'm going to bless him and live. And then he said, naked I came and naked I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he blessed him and he charged God. The Bible said he didn't charge God foolishly. And I preached that night. What are you going to do at the defining moment? It's going to prove who you really are. When the test comes and God don't tell you to clear, he just gives you a pop quiz. No advance warning. He just says, clear your desk. It's test time. What will you do? Because what you do at that moment will define your character and who you really are. Little did I know that just like this table sitting between these two chairs, I got through preaching. We had a wonderful response in the altar call. I walked to that table. I picked up my phone and I flipped it over. And when I pressed the home button, my daughter Kayla was at home with her grandmother. And she said, Daddy, come quick. Nana's blood pressure, I believe it was 59 over 40 something. She said, something's wrong. And I began to hasten out that door. And I began to head. And about that time, my father-in-law had got the phone call. And he bust through the back door of the church and told his pastor, something's wrong with Melba. Y'all pray. And we took off home. And I called her doctor on the way home. And he said, I feel like she's dehydrated and I want you to give her Powerade or Gatorade. If you can get her blood pressure above 100 on the top, he said, if you can get it above there, then don't bring her in. But if you can't, he said, then bring her in immediately at midnight. I said, yes, sir. I got home and her vision was blurred and she was nauseated and I began to give her these liquids and she didn't want them, but I said, you're going to drink them? I don't care. You used to tell us as kids, you're going to eat that if I have to shove it down your throat. I said, you're going to drink that? Right. Hallelujah. If I have to put it in your mouth and blow in your face like I did them babies to take their medicine. She said, boy, you're cranky tonight. And I said, oh, I gotta get you better. And I got her blood pressure up, or the liquids got her blood pressure up. And we got up all 2 hours, every hour through the night. And my wife and my daughter and myself had checked her blood pressure. Everything was good. The next morning, I had a fishing trip planned at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I got up and I told her, I said, I'm not going. Mom, I'm going to stay here with you. I don't feel good about going. She said, no, you hadn't been fishing with your brother-in-law since y'all were teenagers. You're going. You're going. I feel better. I'm going to be all right. I said, are you positive? I know. I'm fine. So I got in that truck and I got on the water and started fishing and God was blessing, man. I was ahead of the rest of them guys, 5-1. Hallelujah. If I'm going to fish, that's the way it's going to be. Man, I'm snatching their lips, boy. I mean, I'm rescuing them. They're going to drown if I don't. So I'm rescuing them, man. And my daughter calls. I'd been on the water maybe 30 minutes and Kayla calls and she's in panic. Daddy, Daddy, you got to pray. You got to pray. Something's wrong with Nana. She's having a seizure and something's wrong. And from my medical background, I knew it was more than a seizure. And I started putting things together in my mind that this is not dehydration. This is a clot. We started praying and we were on the boat with a charismatic preacher. And I thank God for his prayers. He started praying and we were sort of shook up. About 8 to 10 minutes later, my daughter called and she was weeping. She said, Daddy, Nana's gone. Gone. She's gone, Daddy. They've tried and they're still trying to work on her. They're trying. They're shocking her, Daddy. But she's not coming back, Daddy. You got to pray, Daddy. You got to pray. The hardest thing I've ever done in my life was turned to my brother-in-law, my best friend all my life growing up, now my brother-in-law, and say, James, your mama's gone. I know I'm preaching high, but I'm making a point here, and I brought it low for a reason. I'm going to tell you, what you get on the mountain is preparing you for what you're going to face in the valley. That night when I preached and we left service, we were riding high. We made that 2-hour trip, my brother-in-law flying like crazy. I said, man, listen, we already got one funeral. We don't need 5 more. We finally made it there. And when I stepped out of the car, God spoke to me and said, this is y'all's defining moment. Will you curse me and die, or will you bless me and live? If you understood the family history, the last person to die in their family, the whole entire family pretty much quit church for a number of years. And here we are at that point again. And God's saying, are you going to pass the test this time or fail the test? I remember walking in that hospital and seeing my big 6'4", 260-pound father-in-law, a broken man. My precious wife running. My father-in-law running and fell on me. And we wept together, and I pulled my father-in-law close. And I said, Daddy, remember last night? He said, yes, son, I remember. I said, when I stepped out of the car, God said to tell you, this is our defining moment as a family. You're the priest of this family. You're the patriarch, so to speak, of this family. This is our defining moment. Brother, I remember walking in there, and they pulled the family together. Pastor Fogarty come in with us, and we walked in there, and I looked upon the body of my precious mother-in-law laying there, tubes and a lifeless body. I've lost grandparents, but man, this is the woman that was my mother-in-law for 20 years, my second mother growing up. I looked at her, we cried, and I knew it was coming. I heard my father-in-law clear his throat. He squared his shoulders back, Brother Ben. He said, let me tell y'all something, kids. I know the rest of y'all wasn't at church last night. He said, but Darren preached a message about the defining moments of life and about Job and would he curse God and die or would he bless God and live? He said, I'm going to tell you, I've already made up my mind. He said, we can stand here and cry and it's right. And he said, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bless God today. He said, I'm going to raise my hands. And I saw him with tears streaming down his face as he squared them big shoulders, Brother Mayor. And he lifted his hands toward heaven and he began to worship God. And he began to say, God, I thank you for 40 some odd years with the most wonderful woman that you ever could have blessed me with. I thank you, God, man, for every day you give us. I thank you for my beautiful family. And he started naming his children. I thank you for my son-in-law and my daughter-in-laws. My grandbabies, I thank you for my church. Oh, I'm telling you, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you that if you get it right on the mountain, when you face the valley at your defining moment, you'll pass God's test. You'll pass the test. But if you don't get it on the mountain, you're going to crumble. If you don't get, you don't know what you get on the mountain is going to prepare you for the hell that you may walk through in the valley. Hallelujah. I'm hastening towards the close. But my mind went tonight as I was standing on the platform to 2 Samuel. The Bible tells us the story in 2 Samuel of the greatest king, in my opinion, that ever lived in Israel's history. And I preach about him all the time, King David. King David came to this place where his own flesh and blood, Absalom, rose up against him. Absalom took the kingdom from him. Oh, David could have squashed that rebellion. David could have done it with no problem. But he had such a confidence in God that he loads up and he begins to walk out of town. And there's people that's following him. Brother Mayor, I could see the gut-wrenching pain, as we call it in Georgia. Gut-wrenching pain, that means it feels like it's literally pulling, man, your organs out of your body and your stomach, man, is drawing up as David walked away from everything that God had established him in. And he's walking by and there's grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and faithful children of God that were too old to go with him, and they're weeping, and he's hugging their neck, and he's telling them, hey, everything's going to be all right. God's still in control. And he walks out. He's got folks following him. The Bible said he took his shoes off. He's been living in a palace, brother. He's got tender feet. He's not that little kid shepherd running all over the back hills anymore. He takes his shoes off. Amen. Understand that rocky, rugged terrain of the Mount of Olives. Amen. And he takes his shoes off. He puts on sackcloth and ashes. He covers his head. And he's weeping as he climbs up the Mount of Olives. The Bible tells us, and David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olivet and wept as he went up, had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. But can I tell you, David understood something, and it may be physical, but it's physical and spiritual because of the things that had transpired on the Mount of Olives. David could have went any direction out of that kingdom. He could have went anywhere he wanted to go. Amen. He could have went out any gate, but he went out the gate, and he made the turn, and he said, if I can get on that mountain, if I can just get on the Mount of Olives, things are going to change. I know my heart is, amen, drawn. My heart is got a down. In it. My stomach feels like somebody is pulling on it with a rope. But I can tell you this, I'm going to get to the top of that mountain. And he begins to make his way. Every step is a struggle. Every step he's having to fight. All the emotions that's going through his body. But brother and sister, amen, rocks cutting his feet and tears streaming down his face. He makes that climb. And the Bible, you keep reading, the Bible said, and when he come to the top of the mountain, out where he worshiped God. What? David, have you lost your mind? I know you're a singer and a poet and a songwriter. Amen. But David, this ain't no place to worship God. This ain't no time to have church. Come on, man. Are you crazy? I know David didn't sing songs like we have, but I just wonder if he got it. I don't know where it come from, but he starts singing. Well, I feel like praising him. You ever come to church and feel intimidated by the people around you? Oh, come on. It's a good place to tell the truth. There ain't no use to lie in church. You ever feel like I'm intimidated and man, Sister So-and-so, if Sister Bowman ain't getting with it tonight, something's up. Oh, I used to go to church here, remember? If Sister Bowman wasn't having church, brother, it was tight. Uh-huh. And you're like, oh, well, if Sister So, if Brother So-and-so, man, if he ain't moving, Brother David was surrounded by people that was weeping. Their lives were being torn apart. There was families being ripped apart by this division in the kingdom. But David said, you know what? If I can just get on the mountain, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to have some church, and things is fixing to turn around. I ain't got nothing with me. I ain't got nothing but the clothes on my back. I ain't got no food to eat. I don't know what tomorrow has in store, but I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I'm going to praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Kyle, he climbs that mountain. I feel like praising him. I wonder if he looked around at some folks and said, if you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me. If you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me. I'm going to praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long, because I feel like praising him. But Brother Hush, everything's falling apart. I'm going to tell somebody here tonight, you may have walked up in here and everything's falling apart, but if you just put your hands together and start clapping and start saying, devil, I know what you want me to do, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to maximize my mountain. I'm going to begin to praise him, because God is going to turn it around. God, hey, woo. I might be in the cave. You might have me bound up, but God is still on the throne. I might be in the fire, but the same God that walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be in the fire with me. Come to the music and help me. Hallelujah. If you can understand, I ain't got time to preach it all. But when David got to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God, he had some church. And it was faith church. Because he didn't see Ziba. But Brother Mayor, while he was struggling up there to get to the top of the mountain, God had provision making his way. He's got donkeys loaded down with groceries. Somebody needs to hear me. He had donkeys loaded down with groceries. The Bible said that he had loaves of bread. He had cakes of raisins. He had bottles of wine. And brother, he's coming up the other side of the mountain. Can I tell somebody, I know it was rough for you to come to church. I know the devil fought you all the way here. But you know why? He didn't want you to hear me preach tonight. Maximize your mountain. Because he understands if you get on the mountain with Jesus, something's going to change. He understands that God's got provision headed your way. God's got a healing headed your way. God's got a deliverance headed your way. Well, hallelujah. I got a bunch more stuff in there. I got enough notes. I could preach a 3-week revival right there. Hallelujah. Thank God we ain't going to. But I'm going to tell you, I tell our church at home, don't talk about it, be about it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a preacher that I don't just want to talk about it. I want to be about it. And you know why I want to be that way? Because I got a God that said, don't just talk about it. Don't talk about me. Hey, man, you don't have to worry. You can preach my word without fear and without favor. You can preach my word without apprehension. If you'll just preach my word, I'll perform what I said. If you'll just preach healing, you'll get healing. If you preach deliverance, you'll get deliverance. If you preach financial miracles, you'll get financial miracles. Nah. I can't be nobody else but me. Hallelujah. And I know it's Thursday night. Oh, man, we're doing awesome. It ain't even 9 o'clock. 8:47. Hallelujah. I know I got some good food waiting on me, but, man, I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing I like better than seeing somebody get what they need. I like that better than food, and you can look at me and tell I like food. Amen. But I like to see somebody. And I'm going to tell you, on a Thursday night, you might have come to church tonight and said, well, it's just another Thursday night, and that old fat dude's coming to preach for us. He comes around, you know, once or twice a year, and he's going to scream and yell a little bit, and we'll go home, and we'll have the same old problems. Yeah, that's what the devil wants you to think. Well, praise God. But I'm going to tell you, I feel God from the very beginning of this service. We're going up to the high places. We're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. What are you talking about? We up here now. Brother Mayor, as you preach, we're above the snake line. Come on, we done climbed up above the snake line. We done climbed up where the enemy, the old viper, can't get to you. You on God's property. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil has no authority. The devil has no dominion on the mountain. Well, hallelujah. Y'all gonna have to stop that. Y'all gonna make me really want to preach. Amen. I was in the music store today and a guy was playing shouting music. I walked by and said, you better stop. I'm gonna preach up in here. Hallelujah. But I'm gonna tell you what I feel in this house tonight. I feel like if you came to church and it was a struggle for you to be here, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Are you hearing this, preacher? Because everybody you looking at, including this preacher, has come to this church before. And I might have sat right there on that front pew as the youth pastor, but there was things that I felt like, man, I'm defeated before I get here. And this man of God, I'm going to tell you what I always pray every time I was here. And man, I said, God, I want you to anoint my pastor tonight like you've never anointed him before. That's a tall order because I've heard him preach all over the country. I said, God, anoint him and give him a word to bring deliverance and to bring blessing and to bring authority and dominion in my life. Oh, I'm telling you, and God never failed to do it. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God's power's in this house. God's liberty is in this house. Come on, I feel healing virtue wanting to flow in this house. If you need healing in your body, you don't need to stay in that seat. You need to get here to the front just as fast as you can get here. Come on, if you need God to turn a situation, if you need God to turn a financial situation. Oh, preacher, don't preach that. That sounds charismatic. I'm sick of the charismatic stealing our stuff. That ain't the charismatic stuff. They don't even believe in Jesus. We do it all in Jesus. It's ours. If you need God to turn it, you need to get up here tonight. Well, praise God. Anybody go take God at his word? Quickly tonight, is there anybody you got a need you need God to meet? Come on, don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. I got a need and I need God to do it. Well, praise God. Now, while you got your hand up, don't be ashamed to slip out and make your way towards this front. And we're going to sing. And I'm going to tell you, I want you to listen to me now. Listen to me. Listen to me. How many of you that said I got a need has already prayed about your need? Raise your hand. You've already told God about it. Oh, I'm losing some of you now. You already told him, so he already knows. He don't have a forgetter like we got. You've already told him. Now it's time to do what David did and lift your hands and say, God, I'm going to praise you. If the world's falling apart, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you glory. I don't know what tomorrow's holding, but I'm not worried about it right now. I'm going to praise you because you hold my tomorrow. I want you to lift your voice. Come on, lift a loud voice and shout unto God. Come on, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Come on, lift your voice into a roar and praise him. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Woo, come on, God's bringing somebody out right now. Come on, God's bringing somebody out right now. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice.
Praising him.
I'm gonna praise him.
Praise
I'm gonna
him
praise
in
him.
The morning.
Oh, I'm gonna praise him
all day long.
Oh, because I feel
like
I'm praising
him. Praising him.
Oh, yes, I feel
like I'm praising him.
Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice.
I feel like praising
come on, lift your voice.
Hallelujah.